You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, welcome back for another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. We're going to kick off this episode like we do every week, and that's sharing one of you, our amazing listeners, viewers, followers. If you're using the hashtag #STRShareSunday, we'll share you here on the podcast to all of our email subscribers. And if you're not on our email list, get on it. And to our Instagram followers. So Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at East_ATL_studio. Again, that's East_ATL_studio. And I just say, Risha and Andy reached out to us via DM because they invested in their digital real estate. And Sarah and I talk about digital real estate a lot inside our membership and on our workshop. And this is a cool STR share because they have converted their short-term rental into a creative space for photography and videography.
So cool.
So they've transitioned. They were hosting strictly short-term rental overnight stays, and then they've transitioned. And I love this. And I wanted to bring this to your attention because there's multiple ways that you can do this. You could switch your home into a studio. So what they have, you can do photos there, you can do lifestyle, and they also have an outdoor area. If you read their social media, they have over 400 happy clients. And what happens is people are renting their space via PeerSpace by the hour. And I really want you to take a look at them. And you don't need to transfer your whole entire space into, hourly, but Sarah and I always want to make you aware of all the different ways that you can earn income off of your property. And I think they are crushing it. Please look to them, look at their Instagram, go to their site, see how they're doing this. They are making it happen. And one other thing I want to highlight about what they've done, they did a great thing by having a local publication come in and feature them. So if you have not reached out to your local, whatever that might be, is there a magazine? Is there a newspaper? Is there a blog? Do some of that marketing on your own and get your message out there. So well done, East ATL Studio. Love what you're doing for your community and giving the creatives a space, and love how you pivoted your short-term rental into super short-term rental by making it hourly. All right, Sarah, let's get on to the episode.
All right. So we are hot off the trail of TFV Live, and so many good things came of that event. Not only all the amazing people that are in our membership, what up, HBMM members, but also people who didn't even know we had a podcast. So
I know.
I was, what the that heck? Was awesome.
I know.
No, that's great.
We love it.
We loved it. And as well as people that we welcome to our stage are, were new friends as well, like the gentleman we have on today's show for you, but he blew us out of the water. We said, you have to come on the podcast. We have to share you with all of our listeners.
He probably could have done a full day
event.
And we are planning, we're scheming something with him for 2023.
He doesn't even know it yet.
He doesn't. Well, we talked about it a little bit, but who do we have on today, Sarah?
All right. Today we have Sean Kemper. He started ETI Solutions with a deeper vision to help educate and train short-term rental companies in the practices of cleaning while continuing to bring innovative equipment, cleaning, and disinfecting products to the industry. And the really cool thing with Sean is he not only has amazing products, which, by the way, listeners, I have received, used, shared with my housekeeping team, and they love it, but he also understands the chemistry behind his products. And that's what we're going to dive in today, because there are some things that we learned at the event that we were like, what?
Science. We were learning science.
We were learning science. So Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, ladies.
Yeah.
And it was awesome in Vegas.
We had such a good time.
I think you got mobbed after your session. And I have to ask Sean. Sean was bold. He gave out his phone number. What happened with that?
Had a few prank calls and other calls.
Okay, okay. Just a few. It's hot.
I learned to go get a Google number.
Okay, there we go. All right, Sean, seriously, you were blew us away on stage. Everyone was taking notes. We were learning. We're like, wait a second, why is this stuff not taught? You know, we always talk about personal finance not being taught like in junior and high and high school. After your session, I was like, why do we not learn some of these basic cleaning things, because it really does come down to chemistry. And I was like, oh my gosh, these aren't just things for people to use in their short-term rentals. They can also use them at home. And that's always fun when things can be used in both places. So,
and listeners, just before you, you know, decide whether or not this episode's for you or not, I want you to remember that I would say 99% of our listeners, Sean, are real estate investors. And I don't know why any of them wouldn't want to know what products are being used inside their homes. Because if you were investing all this money in the materials, into all the things that make up your property, you want to make sure that those things are being cared for correctly. So stay tuned, pay attention. That way you can ask your, if you hire out your cleaning team, you can ask them educated questions about their products and maybe have a conversation about what they're using. So Sean, but the cool thing when you hit the stage, the first thing you said, which I had no idea, is that you went to school for marketing. So talk to us about young Sean growing up and how you ended up to where you are today.
Excellent. Well, young Sean growing up was just a normal kid, loved playing football and all the other sports we did. Getting into college, I always knew I wanted to be in sales. That was kind of my thing. I loved meeting people, helping people, training, introducing things. But I got into marketing and I just loved the marketing and advertising aspect of it too, is how you take a product or whatever you're selling or doing and just, you know, showcase it, really shine it up, use the bells and whistles and everything that goes along in pitching an item or something. So marketing was my gig and that's what I did and continue to grow from there.
Okay. Well, then how did we get into cleaning?
Well, my dad actually bought a company down in South Alabama probably 30 plus years ago. And I didn't think I was going to be back with the company. So I graduated college, moved down to New Orleans. I was actually working with a raw material chemical supplier at one time for a little bit. And then that's when the internet was just kind of rolling out. So then I got into the internet companies and started selling the internet when it first came out. People didn't know what the heck it was. Like, do you need a computer to get on the internet? It was hysterical at first. So that company was awesome. Kind of did some IPOs with them and grew that whole technology side. And then I had an offer from one of my headhunters I dealt with to get back into the chemical business. And it was a company called Ecolab, which most of y'all might have known or see Ecolab. They're a global company. But I had a territory down in South Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida. And all we did was educate and train on cleaning chemicals. So basically we dealt with all the fast food restaurants, your big ones, McDonald's, Burger King, Tricon. We did all their private labeling. So my job was to go around and meet those owners, meet those managers, educate those, you know, the janitorial staffs and show them how to clean grills and bathrooms. And I mean, any aspect of the restaurant, we showed them how to do it. So kind of did that for several years, moved up to Chicago as a manager with them. And then my dad gave me a holler and said, hey, all that you're doing there now, why don't you come back down to Alabama and let's see what we can do. And my wife, being from New Orleans at the time, she wanted to get a little bit closer to home too.
So talk to us about your dad's business. What exactly was it?
It's chemical manufacturer.
Okay.
I still work there with them. It's a manufacturing process. So we make all the chemicals. Basically, my first job when I came to work with the family business was to go pick up janitorial distributors. And so that's what I did. I went out and hit all over, you know, the Southeast, and I picked up janitorial distributors, showed our products, demoed our products. Then I would work with their sales teams and help them educate them. So then in turn, they could sell the products to their end users, be it restaurants, churches, schools, you know, whatever it might be. So then basically it's me training them and then they sell our products. So we built that relationship and they would grow the line. And then I would pick up different distributors in other areas and do the same thing and just kept growing. But one of my first distributors was based out of Orange Beach, Alabama, Liberty Linens. And they were in the vacation rental space. And it was really cool space. And we're down here close to the beach in South Alabama. So that's kind of where I finally fell into the short-term rental, vacation rental.
Okay. So you struck up a conversation with the linen company. It was linens, correct?
Yeah. They do chemicals and everything too.
Okay. And so what was it about the vacation rental world or the residential rental world that seemed to catapult your name for yourself as opposed to, you know, the big restaurants and things like that? Was it just like how big it was? Was there a huge void that you found that people weren't being educated in the housekeeping chemical world? Like, what was it about that industry that interested you?
Coming from the corporate side, you know, with Ecolab and all the hotels and restaurants and everybody that we dealt with, it was so structured and so standardized. And then when I got into this business, I'm like, wow, there's such a huge need for education, training. These people don't know what the products they're using. They're just being barked at from a janitorial guy. And, you know, there's not a lot of expertise in that. So I kind of saw that niche back then and just kind of kept growing and growing and building a business through that area.
Right. Because I'll be honest, when I think about cleaning, I'm like, you go to either a big box store and you go to the cleaning aisle and you, or the dollar store, and you just kind of pick a glass cleaner, you know, a bathroom cleaner. I know there's a lot of them that are popular and you just kind of put like three or four. And that's, to me, I'm just going to be honest, that was the arsenal. And most likely there's bleach in there. And I know during your section at our live event, bleach was a hot topic because I feel like that's what a lot of cleaners, including myself, that's the cure-all. So can you talk to us about, like, when you go in and start to educate, let's say you were coming to help Sarah and I with our team, what are some basic stuff that you would just go over? What are some things our listeners can start to work on today with their products?
That's the reason I formed ETI Solutions, was to take it a step further with, you know, help educate and train and then also get into a consulting side. So I can come into your property, I can see what you're currently using, learn more about your homes and the materials and what you're cleaning, what you're up against. And then we help match the right products for that. I mean, you know, you don't want to use acids on your natural stones because it'll etch them. The magic eraser, I mean, I'm not a big fan of that guy. I know it's cheap and everything, but it takes paint off walls. I mean, that little thing could be pretty aggressive itself, so it can damage some surfaces. So just, you know, understanding the whole cleaning process and why we do what we do and which products we use. You know, also, a key thing is, you know, you run to the dollar store, Home Depot and all that, Lowe's and those places, and you're not getting the proper safety documentation. You're not getting your safety data sheets, which could be a humongous fine if OSHA or the food or the health department were to come in your facility and you don't have these proper documents. I blew away a couple of people, even when their vehicles, when they're transporting the chemicals to the properties, they have to actually have them in their vehicle as well, or this could be considered a fine. You know, a lot of times we don't see it because we're on a smaller scale. But I would rather you be protected and ready in case something did happen.
There's something too about being a small business owner. When you know what the big guys know, you kind of like hold your head a little higher. So if you have that in your car, where you explain to your housekeeping team, you know, if you're going to be servicing my home, it's important to me that it gets transported correctly. Here's what I learned from Sean on the Thanks for Visiting podcast. You just feel like you're in control of your business. So Sean, can you take us? So let's say it's 101 cleaning chemistry. We have a very, you know,
you know, or in the middle of the U.S. I know that it can get very specialized when you're like on the coasts or what have you, but talk to us about the basics of cleaning. What can our listeners take away today that would empower them to just know a little bit more about the products that should enter their home?
Yeah. And if we want to do like bathrooms, kitchens, you know, what are some best practices in those two areas? That would be, I think, helpful.
Well, Sarah, you made a great point about these owners. You really want to, you know, have enough knowledge in your head that you can be dangerous, or if these house clean, you know, because there's so many of these cleaners out there. You want to make sure you're being protected with your ROI, your return on your investment, and make sure everything they're doing is proper. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody going to the dollar store and buying some fragranty product and just sticking soap or surfactants everywhere. And so, you know, these chemical buzzwords, if you have a little bit of knowledge, it's good, because then you can keep that in your back pocket. And when somebody's telling you they did what they're supposed to do, or then you might be like, no, I did learn this. This is something that I did learn, and I kept it for this reason. But, you know, you talked about certain areas in the house. So, okay, so bathrooms are tricky. Bathrooms typically deal with mineral buildup, which is going to be your calcium, your lime. Certain areas of the country have hard water. And unfortunately, there's the product for that is an acid type product, but the acids are safe. I mean, they're phosphoric, citric, they're really good acids, but people don't like to use them because sometimes they have a little bit of a funny, pungent smell. But that's just the nature of the beast. In order to get your job done properly and get the best from the product, you need to use acids in those scenarios. Inside your tubs and your porcelain, the toilet, sinks, you know, these types of products work really well in that scenario. So cleaning those things with your acid-based product and then disinfecting. And then kitchens, obviously, we're dealing with more grease and heavy buildup like that. And that's where your higher pH or degreaser type chemicals, or even maybe a good bacteria-based product that has organics that are designed to break down your greases and fats. So chemistry's come a long way. There's some really unique products that do serve a purpose to help you clean faster.
Can you go over this whole pH thing? Because, you know, I learned a lot listening to you last week. Talk to us about the pH scale really quickly and what we need to know about it as property owners who are interested in cleaning products.
Yeah. I mean, again, pH scale, it's about a 13, 14, all the way down to zero, and 7, 8 being neutral. So what we want to do is, like I mentioned, your mineral scale, those calcium, lime, rust, all those types of scale buildups. That's when your acid comes into play. Your lemon juice, your vinegar, these things are all acids. And I know a lot of people like to use vinegar because it's cheap and it is a fairly natural product, but you need to be careful sometimes because of the pH on that product. It's a 2, and it could, you know, definitely damage some surfaces. Then we go all the way to the extreme of the 13s and 14s. And I mean, if you just think of like a drain cleaner, which most of us, I'm sure, know, that's a high pH, but it has to be to remove those clogs and things that you do have in your drains. So the pH is, if you understand kind of what you're up against in the pH scale and the chemical and the acid, alkalines, it'll help you choose the right product.
Okay. You also made it less scary, I feel, when you talked about mildew. Can you tell us the truth about mildew and what we can do to keep it at bay?
Well, mildew's trick. You know, everybody does, like you said, grab the bleach because it is cheap and it does make it poof disappear. But, you know, as we did in your training session, think of mold like a flower. So you have this beautiful flower, you got the stem, and then you got the root that we don't ever see. So that bleach is basically bleaching out that flower to get rid of it. So boom, it's gone. But the root and stem are still kind of sticking in there and just waiting. So when the next person comes in, you get more of the humidity, the water, it grows that mold and mildew just back just as fast. So, I mean, disinfectants have been out there forever to kill this. If you read the label on your disinfectant, it says it kills mold. But a lot of people, you know, we need that instant gratification. We've actually designed a product called Sporgo that has natural tea tree in it, along with a stabilized peroxide. So it basically will remove that mold and mildew. It'll get down into the root and eradicate that problem. But you got to agitate it, get rid of the stain, and it won't come back.
So bleach doesn't actually get rid of our mold issue.
Check EPA. You know, they don't allow bleach to be used during these restoration teams going after the hurricanes and things like that. Bleach is not an approved product because it just doesn't get into the substrates like you need it to totally get rid of the mold and mildew so you can box that house back up after a hurricane, put the drywall back in and get everything sealed up. It could still be growing behind the walls.
Wow. So is there a good use for bleach then in your experience or in your travels? What have you learned it's good for?
In the kitchen, I mean, typically it was introduced as a sanitizer or maybe for your white linens and things like that. It bleaches stains out very good. But again, it is detrimental. It will break down your fabrics. Mm-hmm. It won't allow your linens and things like that to last as long. So again, I always choose cheaper, but not cheaper, but better alternatives like the bacteria-based products that you can soak and remove organic stains, blood, food, grass, whatever it might be, and help you get rid of a lot of those stains. So bleach, yeah, it's a sanitizer. That's kind of how I think of it is.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings, and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan.
Sean, a lot of our listeners are owner-operators, and they might just have a cleaning team that cleans multiple different places throughout the week. How can we interview? Like, what questions should we be asking our team that's coming into our home? Like, how can we make sure that what the products that they're using are safe on our surfaces? Or should we supply that? What would be your recommendation for our listeners?
That's an awesome question, Annette. I mean, again, if they have enough knowledge about, you know, what's going on in their properties, it definitely helps them. One thing we did learn on the whole thing with the floors and why there's so much buildup and why we get the Blackfoot syndrome, understanding that a neutral product on your floors is going to be better than a heavy fragrance product like Fabuloso or a high degreaser. So these put too much other soaps and other things onto the floor that make them dirtier. So, you know, that could be a good question. What type of product are you using on my floors? Because that is, I mean, across the industry, the number one problem. Maybe say, hey, I've got a, you know, real chalky buildup on the shower glass doors, a white haze. What type of product would you use for that? And that's where you would want them to say, well, I use an acid bathroom cleaner, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, just if you have a couple good questions to ask them, you'll find out real quickly if they know their trade.
I want to ask about this Blackfoot syndrome. I'm not going to lie. I get it at my own house and it makes me mad because I'm like, I just cleaned the floor. What am I doing wrong that I'm not cleaning, that the floors aren't coming clean like that?
It's tricky and it's tough because we've got friends and family running around the house. You got pets running around the house. We're cooking all the time. So you got floating oils coming into play. So it's almost a never ending battle. But I mean, choosing a good neutral product, having a program definitely for the short-term rental, you need to mop it good. You got to get those greases and soils off the surface. But then there's also times where I blew their minds when I said, hey, just use hot water. Sometimes just a little bit of hot water can be good to neutralize soap buildup and remove some other, you know, soils that are on there. But one thing I do like doing is a deep clean, you know, and every 6 months, it just depends on the traffic and how many folks you have in your property. But doing a really good, maybe even if it's a machine, if you get Stanley Steamer or one of your local restoration guys, carpet cleaning guys, they can come in and do these extractions and they got all the cool equipment to really, really wash that floor really well and quickly. So it's tough. You just got to keep it clean, use the right products and try to get those deep cleans in.
Yeah, sometimes it's too much of a good thing.
I think maybe Swiffer, all the Swiffer spray is probably needs to be reduced in my
world. Yeah, we have those here too. My wife buys them and I always go, oh, geez. But you pull those pads out of there and they're just soaked with chemical. Mm-hmm. And I know they have to do that, I guess, for their packaging and everything else they're trying to accomplish. But when I slap that onto the floor, I'm like, God, just think about all this soap buildup, everything that's going down on there. And then I'll see the commercials on TV. And I think they're even trying to get into the neutral floor game and Blackfoot, because I saw a couple interesting things they were pitching. But I'm going, it's a lot of soap that they're slapping on that floor. And depending on the size of the square footage and everything else. So a little more science, I think, on our end that we need to help educate and keep everybody going in the right direction.
So you feel fine every so often if our cleaning team just wants to use really hot water to help break down all of the soap that's been used prior.
Yeah,
that's okay.
It's crazy. But if you could see it, you know, under a microscope, you'll hear it. They go in, I just mopped the floor. I don't know why they're getting anything on their feet or the baby's crawling around and getting it. There's such a thin micro layer of soap or oils, and it just kind of has built up over the years. So our job is to try to help neutralize all that buildup so then we can kind of get you back to bare bones with the floor. There are some sealers out there that work really well to help seal the surface so that the dirts and soils and greases can't penetrate into the grout and things. So it's tricky. That's why there's probably 20,000 different products out there for it. But, you know, again, that's where somebody like me or maybe a local supply house, you get some extra education and point of view to help you with that.
Okay, here's another problem. I'm just throw problems at you, Sean, see if you can give us solutions. So in our market, so we're in a metro market and we have a lot of back-to-backs. And sometimes we don't have time if a guest were to smoke in our unit or cook, even if they're just as
bacon. Oh my gosh, bacon.
Cooking bacon or a fish dish the night before or that morning. They're getting salmon with their avocado toast, whatever it is. And shoot, I've got a guest coming at 4. And I know a lot of people have feelings about the ozone machines and whether or not they're safe. So what do you recommend we do when it comes to those smells that we just can't get to like seem to
neutralize,
dissipate?
Yeah. And those are just as tricky as the floor. So, you know, you got all these airborne odors and then they're going all over the cabinets and the materials in the kitchen. Ozone is good, but you need, I think, like 24 hours. And like you said, people cannot actually be in the building or the space when the ozone machine is on because it could kill us. So going in there, I can't speak enough about a good bacteria-based product. We utilize our Chemzyme and it's got all these different strands of good bacteria that will break down your greases and your fats and your sugars. So if you do a good clean all around where that source is, and that's the other thing, we got to try to find out where the source is. If you got to wipe down a cabinet or, you know, wipe down the back of the splash, whatever it might be all around the ovens and things. So, you know, try to get rid of all that source that you possibly can. And then having a true odor eliminator to come back in and spray the space. A couple tricks I always say is, you know, spray your baseboard of the door entry when they come in, because then you have a nice fragrance. And that's the first, to me, line of defense. If they smell a nice, clean entrance, they're going to put their guard down and go, okay, this place has been cleaned properly. But also a good odor neutralizer will break down all the airborne odors. And you can also go into your filters in your AC unit and spray that filter real good. And it'll go through the property and through the air ducts and drop down into all the rooms as well. So, you know, just good clean, good odor neutralizer if you have some really heavy smoke and cooking odors.
Wait, can you say that again? Go back to the HVAC. I don't know if that's the first time I've heard that.
Just blew in his
mind. Yeah, so what can we do?
You got your filters that we change out all the time.
Right.
In our AC systems. So maybe when get it on a routine maintenance. When you do change out the filter, spray it with a nice neutralizer, odor eliminator. I learned about something at the show. I've never seen them yet. I need to research it, but there's some kind of coil or something that sticks to your filter. And it's just a fragrance, but it's throwing a fragrance out there, which is, you know, long as to me, if you don't get it too heavy, floral, mm-hmm. whatever direction you want to go in, you just want a nice clean smell. But yeah, the filter is really good, especially because the filter is going to collect all those
right.
throughout the month or whenever. All those odors that are in the property, you know, pet, cooking, whatever it might be, are going to be collected in that filter as well. So changing out those filters help with odors. And then if there is a nasty odor in the property, you know, change out the filter, put you in a new one, and then spray it with that odor eliminator. And
I never thought about changing the filter sooner because it's holding some of the odors. I never,
especially if you're a pet-friendly property.
We up that game because of that pet dander, and it can just trap those things. And yeah,
you just said something about spraying the entryway. And what do you mean by that? Because, like, for instance, I know my mom has like an extreme allergy to any sort of scents. Like, she will have to like leave the property. So when you just said use something around the entryway, what do you recommend? Because I will be honest, I used to use like those plugins in my place, and they had them all in one baggie, like sitting outside. I was like, oh, that means they didn't like that. So what is, when you just said spray around the entryway, what do you suggest there? Especially if people could be mad when they walk in and that's heavily scented. What do you recommend using?
That's a good point. That's a good point you said that. I'm going to back up just for a second. So something that might smell good to us, and we love this fragrance, and oh, it's so awesome, it could be very, very much a turn off or just disgusting to somebody else. So the smells are very tricky. And even to go, well, back to the chemistry and the science, you know, we buy our fragrances from our fragrance companies, but they'll always kind of guide us and they'll give us studies of, this fragrance is liked by 70% of the population out there, whatever. And you know that this is really going to be okay for the most part. They'll show different demographics that this fragrance is better. So just innovating, be on top of your industry, knowing what's good and what's not good. You know, people back in the day used to love pine. Oh, pine's all so clean. Mm-hmm. But I hate pine. I don't like to smell it. So yeah, you know, but the baseboard, not necessarily the baseboard, but just the whole door frame. So when you walk in your property, and I like the Chemzyme too, because it has a great fragrance, and you know, one product, you don't have to have 10 different products. But if you just take a little microfiber, you know, rag or whatever, and when you spray the base bar around the rim of the door, and then just kind of do a nice little mist, and you can wipe it around and in, and that fragrance and that product lingers there for a little bit. So when the guest comes back in and, you know, a day or hours, whatever it might be, they smell that. And for the most part, again, this is a fragrance we've tested, and, you know, out of my, 10, 15 years of selling this product, I think I've had 2 complaints.
Right. The Chemzyme, that's your proprietary product.
Right.
Okay. Just for so the listeners.
So he sent it to me. And again, it's not even like, and to my nose, it's not a smell of any sort. It's just that like absence of smell almost. It's got this like clean, quote unquote, fragrance to it. So I will say it's really light. We should show it to your mom and see what she thinks about
she'll
it.
She'll be honest. She'll let us
she
know.
Will be very
if
honest.
She goes into anaphylactic shock. We'll know that it's scented.
Well, maybe we
should. I don't want to be responsible for that.
Yeah, you won't be. Won't. She carries an EpiPen. She'll be fine.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sean, we talked a little bit too in Vegas. And also when I received your products, I wanted to try them out for myself back in the day. They're color-coded. Can we talk about how color-coding is related to just safety and just keeping track about what you're using where? Like, why are colors important when it comes to chemicals and cleaning?
Well, it's just a quick eye reaction. As you, maybe as an inspector or even a homeowner, host, whatever, you go in there and you say, okay, that's blue. So typically, what do we think blue as?
Window cleaner. Oh. I'll be quiet now. Turn my mic off.
You know, your Windex. Blue is, you know, it's just like industry standard. Blue has to be a glass cleaner. So if you see that blue in that bottle and you see that maybe it says acid bathroom cleaner is blue. So, you got the wrong product in there. You know, I think to OSHA, or, you know, it's like a $700 fine if they get the wrong product. But, you know, color coordinated has been in the business forever. I mean, when I was back with Ecolab 30 years ago, we always did purple maybe as a degreaser or orange as a degreaser. So there's kind of color codes. So when we designed the drop and go products, I wanted to make sure that the blue was your glass and multi-surface cleaner. Orange was your degreaser. Purple was your acid. So all these things match up. So you as an inspector, host, you can see the product that's in there and know they're using the right product.
So really quick, he just dropped this whole drop and go thing. Listeners, I want to share with you what this is. Number one, it's these little capsules that are color coded and they're very small and light. And that's how they get shipped to you. And you drop them into the spray bottle that you already receive, and you can keep that. And you only need one of those. As you run out, you just take these little drop things. It hangs on the top of the spray bottle, and then it's automatically the right dosage of chemical to water. So you drop it and literally you go, and it's the color it needs to be. So you can start building out your own cleaning program, knowing what colors equal what chemical. But also, like you said, the shipping on it is really inexpensive because of how light it is. You don't have to pay for the cost of shipping water to everyone. So
Did I get that right? And that's how I perceived it. It's inexpensive and convenient.
Yeah, you nailed it. Definitely. Okay. And that's what it is. I mean, there's 24 cartridges in a box and the box weighs no more than 2 pounds. So you get, you know, 24 spray bottles per box. And like you did say, Sarah, we got a proper label spray bottle that has all your lingo, the OSHA requirements that needs to be on there. It's bilingual. So, you know, it'll help make training easier for you. You can put them in the owner closet. You can lock these up in small spaces and just leave one or two in the property or whatever it might be. But what's also unique, too, is that you have it there in the property, you know, if that's what you so be to choose to do that, but which is good, I think, in the certain spaces. But they're not transporting chemicals back and forth. And a lot of times in a vacation rental space, they've got a warehouse probably 20 miles away. Then they go down to the beach or the mountain or wherever they might go, and they're traveling so far. And if they were to slam on the brakes or at a red light or something, all their chemicals dump over and spill. You know, then you're killing time because you got to go back to this warehouse and refill and then go back down. Well, if you got these drop and goes, these little super concentrated cartridges, carry a couple with you in your vehicle, fill them up when you get into the property. Or if they're already in the property, you know, do the same thing there. It just saves time, labor, money, everything.
We had some general questions, Sean, like that aren't chemistry specific. Can we talk about supplying your team? I think giving your team the supplies that they need is helpful. Would you suggest, this is like, Sarah blew my mind with this a long time ago, of just like mops, brooms, and vacuum cleaners, supplying those for your team. Do you think, is that somewhere where a lot of things can be spread from home to home, or if they're bringing them from different property to different property?
Kind of like cross-contamination. Yeah,
cross-contamination. That's the term, cross-contamination.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's typically not that big a deal, but if, again, I like to try to lighten the load for our customers. And if we can have stuff on property that's not going to walk off all the time, or if you do have a secure spot that you can lock up and go to, let's say bed bugs.
Yep.
So if bed bugs were in a property and they're using this vacuum cleaner to clean up, and then they go to the next property, then the next property, you know, how many, 3, 4, 5 they're cleaning,
yep,
it could be introducing bed bugs to all those properties.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I make sure all of my properties have their own vacuum and it stays there. I was a New Yorker for many, many years and had bed bugs, I don't know, 3 times. So I have some PTSD from them. But okay, also I want to talk about real quickly, Sean, your products, are they crazy toxic? Like what's in them? We know a lot of our hosts who listen are very thoughtful about the environment. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that relates to what you offer?
One thing I did when I got in this industry is we look for safer alternatives. I mean, you know, not to get gory or anything, but I've seen housekeepers have asthma real bad because they're breathing in these butyls from some of these heavy degreasers, or even bleach. I mean, bleach is not good to breathe in. And you get cleaning bathrooms day in and day in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of your life. Some of these things are definitely going to be detrimental and have some side effects. So the chemistry we use is all very safe. It's all biodegradable. I mean, another funny thing, if you think about us, is, you know, we got family that are out there in the manufacturing process. So, you know, you don't want your family, you know, huffing and puffing some of these hazardous chemicals. So we've always tried to make safer formulations. We got some, you know, the drop and go, we took it a step further and got a logo on there that is a preferred safe chemical to use. Our customers, our friends, they're our family as well. So we want everybody to be protected and using safer, better chemistry.
Our listeners are owner operators, like we said, so they're not, for the most part, property managers of hundreds of homes, Sean. So could they leverage a company like ETI Solutions, like your company, as a small business owner, like really small business owner? Can they leverage the offerings that you offer, the same things to larger property managers?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you know, we scale up. We've got customers that can be 3, 4, 5 properties to 1,000 properties. So, you know, the products work at all levels. Every product is basically doing the, you know, we're all cleaning one house versus, you know, 1,000 houses. So definitely, yeah, very easy to plug and play.
And if our listeners want to know about the chemistry, if they want to know about the pH and the acid, do you have a customer service team that could help them answer any questions? Or let's say you spoke about it at our conference. If there is marbles getting stained or the couch, someone sitting on it time after time wet, are those things that people could call your team and ask specific questions while they're cleaning?
I mean, we're always fielding, you know, emails. We're always checking emails. So we do, obviously we've got support, but we'll get back to you fairly quickly. You know, that's one thing a family business needs to do is our service. You know, we're going to grow by service. We're not going to grow by, you know, doing commercials or all this big box stuff. So, you know, if we die by our service and emails, that's why I gave my cell phone.
He will not be doing that anymore, the listeners.
I just know that some of our attendees and people at the event were excited, Sean, to reach out to you because I know that you'll help them build out a little program. Mm-hmm. If they tell you, you know, I've got this many houses with stone, with marble, this many houses with this, that, you can help them curate a cleaning program. And then once they have that and they know what goes where, they just reorder it when they need it. Is that correct?
Exactly. And I've had tons of emails already from the folks there just, you know, wanting to maybe set up a Zoom training with me, maybe interested in getting a couple of the products to try and, you know, make sure I'm just not up here a talking head. So we do test these products and we love the support and the relationships we build. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good way to continue to grow your business and get on track with a professional program.
And where can our listeners find more about your products, where they could go look for them today?
Our website is etisolutions.co. Remember that .co. That's fairly new, and a lot of people keep trying to put in .com and can't find me. The email address that we use is info@etisolutions.co. We've got quick responses. I didn't get a chance to share it, but I started a Facebook group that we were going to roll out there too, and it's our Clean SEAL team. And that's SEAL. You think of it like a Navy SEAL, but you know, sea, air, land is basically what we're all cleaning. And by having that Clean SEAL team as a Navy SEAL, they go in, they do an operation, they clean whatever they got to do, mess, get these hostages back, exterminate somebody, and then they're out. And that's like our cleaning teams. We come in, we clean that operation, and then we get out. We're never seen, you know?
True. So, like stealth mode.
Exactly. We never get the love. During the pandemic, obviously, things changed, and people wanted to know what you were cleaning and disinfecting, and the housekeepers and those folks, maintenance teams, they all got a little more love than they normally would, so it was nice to see.
Absolutely. And I love that. You know, we should be having these communities and Facebook groups around protecting our assets, making sure they're lasting longer, just like getting the asset. That's great. That's fine. But now that we have it, how do we make it last a really long time so our guests can enjoy it for years to come and the revenue keeps coming in? We don't have to replace things because we're just caring for them the right way.
And safe for our team.
And they're safe for our team.
Awesome. Sean,
before we hop off, anything else we didn't mention that you want to make sure our listeners hear from you?
No, I think we did a great job. It was a good conversation and just, again, help educating everybody and make sure that we're all on the same page.
All right, listeners. Thank you, Sean. We'll make sure all of Sean's information is in the show notes so you can reach out to him. You can build your cleaning program, listeners.
Buy some Chemzyme.
Yeah, no, it's good. So,
and dropping gas.
With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.